The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
I told you that the cadet force, the march against crime, is that something that's coming or it's gone already? It happened on Saturday. All right, okay. So we will be talking to Maurice Burke, who is the communications manager of the TNT Cadet Force. I'll try to admit them online right now. Major Randall Luces, Battalion Commander, TNT Cadet Force. Right. We'll have a guest, Corporal Waldron, the San Fernando Secondary School Unit. And who again? I guess... Lohoy, right? San Juan, San Fernando Secondary School, and we'll have two cadets and our parents as well to cover. So we're talking to the cadets today about that march against crime. So in studio, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Miss.
All right, man.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Welcome. Thank you. You're looking like a prison officer, boy. That thing for some gentleman here, a guy I would have known for years. I'm like, I told you, I was a cadet too back in Trinity College, would have been 85 to 89, so I'm familiar with the cadet force. And I've always said, you know, on the radio many times that the cadets and the Cub Scouts and the Girl Guides and the Brownies, these are things that we need to, you know, reinforce very seriously back into the schools, you know, to instill some kind of discipline that they're not getting in the homes, you know. So good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, man. So tell us about this this crime march, the march against crime, and why did the cadets feel the urge to do this? Cadet Force March Against Crime.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having us. The work against crime and bullying was one of the key events organized by 6th Battalion as part of our celebration of the 115th anniversary of the Trinidad and Tobago Cadet Force. Each year during the month of May, what we call Cadet Month, every battalion is tasked with hosting events that promote the values and mission of the cadet force. Our work focuses on two key issues facing the communities: crime and bullying, especially in schools. We wanted our cadets not just to walk, but to find solutions and to be seen as part of the solution, taking a visible stand to raise awareness and reinforce civic responsibility. It's about showing our young people that they have a voice and a role in shaping the kind of society we want to live in.
Nice, man. In terms of the cadets, what is like the enrollment in the cadets? Young people still showing interest in joining the cadets? I remember my time, I wanted to join the cadets because a lot of the cool guys in school were in cadets. You can have some of the guys they look up to now. You know, so what is it? How is the enrollment in cadets in school? Is it still cool to be a cadet?
Absolutely is. In fact, so my battalion, the 6th Battalion, is in South Trinidad, encapsulating three major education districts: Victoria, St. Patrick, and Southeastern.
Right.
And right there in 6th Battalion, we have 300 cadets on strength.
Okay.
Right, so that's just one particular battalion. I know Major Roberts might be able to speak of the other battalions.
We are going through a rebuilding phase after the COVID pandemic, which severely affected us and all the other youth organizations in Trinidad and Tobago across the region. And we have found in recruitment, it has been very exciting, very interesting to see the interest still, not just by young people, but by the parents and the school administrators who are seeing us as a important part of the co-curricular experience in school. So the recruitment process has been very vigorous, and we have seen a tremendous response across schools across the nation. We are in 60-plus schools at the moment. Some are in rebuild mode, and some are expanding and doing quite well. They be now into holiday time, so they're now doing the exams, star exams, and so forth.
Okay. Now, in terms of like, now we've seen a lot of bullying in schools, right? And I know you have your march against crime that would include the bullying, but what role does the cadet force play in, like, you know, the bullying? Because I've been calling for, but you know, so tired of this thing, police in schools, army in schools, but I say, hey, look, the cadets in the schools, so what can our cadets do to really, you know, do something about this whole bullying issue?
Well, definitely cadets can be, as you would remember in your own time, role models for the rest of the school. They are seen, they are visible.
Mm-hmm.
They wear uniforms in schools on particular days at least once per month.
Right.
And they assist in all sorts of menial tasks that may be given to them, such mm-hmm. as hoisting the flags. They may do escort duties for visitors coming into the school so mm-hmm. that they could be seen. They also take part in other activities in the school and they stand out. So a lot of times when you go to schools, you would see the head prefect or the prefect body will have a substantial amount of cadets as well mm-hmm. representing.
Mm-hmm. And in your schools, I mean, maybe South experience might be different because you're more up in the North or the East-West corridor, you know, mm-hmm. but and that may be really where some of the troubled schools are. What about?
Yeah, I mean, the school environment is dynamic, and the cadet program is a leadership program that, you know, offers a particular sort of resource in the school environment. You notice now that, you know, even in our time, that the head prefect
mm-hmm.
would have been a senior NCO senior NCO of a cadet unit.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. that is on the uptick now in a number of schools that, mm-hmm. you know, we're very, very proud about.
So schools that still have prefect and thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. You know, people can tune into our page and they will see the number of youngsters that are doing outstanding things mm. and in their schools and so on.
Yeah.
And this is what the program is about. Giving the youngster leadership skills that allow them to stand out. So just like you were talking about, you know, the cool guys in school who you looked up to. Mm. This is where the program still has its core values that allows for impact in the school environment. Those are the youngsters who students look up to and know they can't get away with nonsense with. And it provides support in all the other areas in the school environment that allows for transformation. You know, it's something that happens in varying levels at each school, how they deal with it. But the youngsters who pass through the program have an opportunity to display their leadership counseling skills. You know, you find yourself as an older cadet in fifth form or sixth form,
mm-hmm.
giving advice to a younger one. You know, you find those are the people you can go to and talk about varying things. So this is how the organization has its impact in the school environment.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the school, I mean, to me, what you're explaining here, the cadets could take the role of a lot of what we're looking for, like the counselors and
correct.
Those people to really help and pull up the youths. I mean, there's sometimes the negative always overcomes the positive, and sometimes we see so many negative things. Or maybe we need to see more things about the cadets, you know. Come down to the kids' levels. I mean, does cadets in this time, do you all have are you all on social media, Instagram, TikTok, these kind of things?
Yes, we're very active on social media. Mm-hmm. We have quite a following on Facebook and Instagram, quite active. And a tremendous community of parents, school administrators, mm-hmm. Ex-cadets who are following and keep in tune as to what and how we are doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as we mentioned earlier, you know, we are coming into that time period for critical activities, our 150th anniversary. So mm-hmm. everything is driven at a social media level, plus the website, YouTube, etc. So there's a lot of engagement. So people are aware of what we are doing. They see us active. Both the adults and the cadets, they know what is happening in the organization.
Now, that's some folks that were supposed to join on the Zoom. Yeah, I did add them. I'm not seeing them. I don't know if they're hearing me. Anybody hearing me there on the Zoom? Anybody? Okay. We are not hearing them. So, but I did admit them. So maybe probably try to resend the link and admit once again. So let me say, like, somebody was from one of the bullies in school. Take one of the bullies or one of the boys. I mean, sometimes they might have issues at home. This might be a perfect candidate for somebody to get in the cadet force, I guess, some discipline. You think? How could that work?
So I heard that the Minister of Education said recently that, you know, some parents have certainly dropped the ball
mm-hmm.
and they probably expect that the teachers will do all the training and all the counseling and everything at school. But what is important is that parents have an important role. The first institution that a child is ever introduced to is that of the family. And in the family, there must be rules, there must be laws, there must be consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And if you live in a home where that exists, it would be easier for teachers and officers in the cadet force to deal with some of the children. Right. We can't do the parenting work.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
we
definitely.
Can do is we can augment, we can support, we can assist, we can help you groom your children, but we cannot parent your child. So a lot of the answers is not only with the cadets and the scouts and the martial arts and all the co- and extracurricular activities. There must be that system at home. My parents used to say charity begins at home. And I didn't understand what that meant until later on. Rules and customs and consequences must be set from in the home.
Yeah. So let's say a single mother who have her hands up in the air. I mean, could you all, is anything, I mean, you know, people will say go to the police, but is it possible? How do these cadets get the word out that, you know, we are here for you as parents, you know, bring it right now. You all should be, have a like a recruiting program. I think the Ministry of Education should take it seriously to team up with you all cadets, and we should get a serious marketing and advertising strategy to say, listen, you're a single mother, you have your hands up in here, you don't know what to do with your boy. Instead of let them go and join a gang, let them join the cadets. The cadets should be the new gang then.
Well, interestingly that you said that, Bis. What I have observed from my own observation is that in our battalion, we have quite a few of those people that you speak of, single moms or single fathers, who have come to us willingly, and we work with them. We do counseling, and inside of our training, the training promotes self-discipline, it promotes anger management, it promotes critical thinking skills, and all of those things equip the child to deal with some of the other struggles that he may be having on the school side or with his peers. It really works. All of us sitting in this room here were cadets at one point in time, and I can safely say that it has impacted my life. I was able to make decisions and weigh it out, weigh the good as opposed to the bad, and I can safely say that that happens even now. And our cadets will come and tell us they've been faced with a situation. How do you think I handled it? And sometimes we give them advice. We tell them, okay, you did well, but in future we'd like you to do this instead. So we are here, our arms are open, and we are inviting the public to bring their children in, and we will do what we can do with your support.
Yeah. Somebody sent some messages here, the peace walk in Pinal, it was in Pinal?
San Fernando.
Oh, well, this one, peace walk in Pinal on the 4th of April was great, and these people sent, oh, they had another peace walk, but they sent some pictures with us. Well, I've seen cadets and stuff here, so I don't know, that was like, they probably had another peace walk. Or something. There was another piece. So I could see cadets, Cub Scouts, and some other things. So everybody is doing their little part all over the place, which is good. So what are some of the requirements now to become a cadet?
Well, fundamentally, you should be in secondary school, minimum age 11 years old, parents' permission, and permission from your school teachers. We do have arrangements with some schools that do not have a commission or physical unit at their location. And we have arrangements to allow students from other schools to join a particular unit, of course, with the express permission of that particular school's principal. We do look at youngsters between that 11 to fourth form, fifth form kind of time frame. Anytime older than that, you know, it's a bit more challenging in terms of the process. But by and large, minimum 11 coming into first form. And, you know, you have an adventure of a lifetime, you know, with us. You know, you stay the course to fifth form. You are going to learn some key life-changing skills have an adventure and have some friendships that will last a lifetime as well.
All right, so for those people who may be listening, parents may be listening to think, well, people, well, them characters do is put on uniform and I see them marching and things. But what are some of the things that you actually do that could change somebody's life?
Okay, so in addition to our march on Saturday, we have two other major events to commemorate this month. Our Easter training camp will focus on developing the cadets' practical and leadership skills. They will be engaged in first aid training, survival techniques, marksmanship, and disaster management. Critical skills for any leader. And the second is our flagship event, which is actually the Battalion Sports and Family Day, which takes place on Easter Sunday. And this event brings together the cadets, their parents, members of the wider community, and the battalion. Sports and physical activity are not only great for health, but they develop what we call kinesthetic intelligence. One of the many intelligences identified by a developmental psychologist, Dr. Howard Gardner. Through organized sports, we build self-esteem, discipline, teamwork, and we help our cadets to learn constructive ways to manage stress and anger.
Recording.
It's all part of a comprehensive approach to youth development. And it is not only the cadet force, may I say, offer these things. We have a lot of extracurricular activities taking place in schools. You have the scouts, the guides.
Yeah.
You have martial arts and sundry other things. You have
with all these, but where these children have been problems again, all this trouble, if it have so many of these things going on in these schools.
So what I could tell you is that I am a teacher by profession.
Okay.
I am a principal. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that every single parent has an option or two, or sometimes three. Mm-hmm. The options are available. So part of the issue base is not that the children are not joining, you know.
Yeah.
The parents not dragging them and making sure that they do join.
Okay.
Because remember, as a child, you don't really have a say. As the parent is the one who have to make some decisions for you.
Yeah.
We can all remember there are things we didn't want to do as children, and our parents made us do it. We had no choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I would ask parents to avail themselves to the many opportunities in the extracurricular activities offered by schools.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ministry of Education has a program called Cultural Transformation. And in that Cultural Transformation program, they are instilling that children get educational experiences, not only through the classroom, but through some of these wider extracurricular activities.
All right, I really think we need to put some oil behind the cadets. But when I say that, a nice little push, a nice little marketing push, man, to get the word of the cadets out. All right, so I see we have two people on the line here. We have Michaela and Fayana on the line.
Excellent.
Hello, good afternoon. Michaela and Fayana.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. Welcome to the discussion here. So which one of you all is a cadet? Well, both of you, of course, are cadets. And both of you all were in the march on Saturday, right? Waldron, Michaela is the San Fernando Secondary School Unit, the corporal, right? Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, hello. I'm hardly hearing you. I don't know. You need to fix your mic or something.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. It's still sounding a little fuzzy, right? So while Michaela fixes her mic, let's hear from Fayana. Hello? Is Fayana there?
Hello, good day.
Yeah. All right. Hello?
Good day.
Yeah, good day, good day, good day. All right, so tell us about your experience in the cadet so far.
Well, it has been very inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work and dedication. This is not something that you can take lightly. It has a lot of responsibilities. And it helps build teamwork and give you like a sense of identity. Because with me, I joined the cadet force because I felt sort of out of place in school and sometimes with classmates. But when I joined the cadet force, it's like a family away from home.
Yeah.
And they give you a sense of welcoming and, you know, that you can rely on each other.
Right. Now, when you say you felt out of place, you know, did the cadets help give you a little more confidence to deal with people in school?
Yes, it did, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because at a point, I didn't really see what was on my mind when I was speaking to other people. I said what I expected them, like what I thought they would want to hear.
Now you are a follower, and the cadet made you become a leader.
Yeah.
Right. Very important, very important. Yeah, go ahead.
And it has helped me to be able to make my own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I have evolved from that point in my life. And, you know, it just helped me become a better person.
Nice. Now, being a female, getting into the cadets when you join, I mean, you felt out of place just regular in school. But when you are female, getting into the cadets, a lot of people will think that it is, you know, rightfully so, a kind of male-dominated, you know, organization. How did you fit in there?
Well, it has some individuals that will say, you know, it's males and these sort of things, and it's not really a place for female to be.
Mm.
But that's not, that really isn't the instance, because when you're there in being a cadet, it don't separate you based on gender and these sort of things. The same trainer may will have, the female will have as well. Yes, it might be a bit tough on the males, but we all have like equality in the way that we are being trained and the information that we receive and how they treat us.
So when they tell you drop down and give me 20, you could drop down and give me 20 just like any fella.
Of course. Sir.
Nice one. Beautiful, beautiful. Let me see if we could get Michaela on the own. Hello?
Hello, Giddy.
Yeah, hello, Giddy, Michaela. All right, so tell us about your experience in the cadet, you being in a higher level, and about the peace march and so on. What was your experience both in being in the cadets and in the peace march on Saturday?
My experience as a cadet, at times it is very hard, but most of the time it's a very fun thing to do. It keeps you engaged and active. And the peace march, it felt very nice to be a part of something that was raising awareness for a problem that is so prominent in the country, especially among the youths. And just to know that I was helping to help him with this work that wanted to make a difference.
Mm. Nice, Mumpy. Do you get any from any of your friends, any peer pressure from any of your friends saying, well, Gil, were you in this cadets thing for, you know?
At times, yes, they would want to know why. Because I, being very honestly, I complain about it a lot. I complain about the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
But so they ask me why I choose to stay. And a lot of them try to get me to get out of it, thinking that it's too much work. But cadets has given me the confidence to tell them no, and it's something I like to do, something that I would like to continue doing.
Nice, man. You continue seeing yourself going further in the organization?
Yes, I do.
All right, man. Beautiful. Well, all right. Thank you there very much, Michaela and Wardron. Sorry, you sung in a little robotish there, but at least people got the gist of, you know, what it did for both of you. Yeah? Mm. All right? Yeah, man. All right. So we're going back to the guys here. We'll take a short little break, and then we'll come back with more of the cadets and find out how people could join and so on and so on. And, you know, get some more information and find out what some of the other activities that they have coming up. Yeah, Trinidad and Tobago, back at you here. Better Men's with Base, a better you, a better me, a better Trinidad and Tobago. We're here with some members of the Cadet Force here. Randall and Randall, yeah? R&R, all right? Well, we heard, I know it wasn't too audible. There were some problems here, and with two females of the Cadet Force talking about, you know, confidence and stuff. One major thing that I might take away there is that one girl said that she was one to always follow, you know? And one thing about the cadets and the Cub Scouts and these organizations, they teach you leadership. And that's a problem we have with the youths now. A lot of these youths now just following, right? And that is one thing that was been instilled in me. I don't follow at all. Look at have this thing on social media and Instagram where everybody putting themselves in a box like a action figure dolly. Wait, this, I hate to follow people. Hate, even as a DJ, I hate to be playing things that other people playing. If I hear you play that, I don't want to play that at all. I don't like to follow at all. And that's been instilled in me from young. I don't care. But teaching people leadership and how to, you know, be a leader and not follow, especially the wrong crowd, that is something very, very important. And that is why I'm really insisting and calling on the powers that be to really get behind the cadets. Does the cadets take a sponsorship by like how you all green from a certain telecommunications company, you know, to how does the cadets survive, like behind the cadets? Is that accepted? Corporate support, yeah. Sponsorship or support?
Well, we are actually a government-funded organization.
Well, oh gosh.
By the Ministry of National Security. But it doesn't stop corporate citizens from providing support where required for certain types of things. And of course, in our own policy, you know, it sort of precludes certain types of agencies. So alcohol and stuff that are ready for adults, you know, we wouldn't be able to accept or endorse things. But But we have had companies and agencies who have given support in various things. We do some things that, for example, overseas trips for camps and so forth.
Right.
The parents get involved, heavily involved in generating. There are some things that are provided through our government partners and agencies and so forth. And there are some things that we mobilize the funding for to make those things happen. And some of those things are overseas camps and some overseas trips.
Right. Well, I think if you're talking about, you know, saving Trinidad and Tobago and the youth, people need to get behind the cadets. What are some of the takeaways and some of the rewards you would say other than being a cadet? Like, what has it done for you personally?
Well, I think what people have not tried to understand about what we do, they see the first thing they see about us is the military uniform, and there's a natural assumption that this person wants to join the army, and yes, that is true to a large number of us, but so in my own experience, I had desires to join the army, but
right.
I chose a different path, and quite honestly, that career path is something that I started while I was a cadet. I now continue to do in this post. I am now responsible for video production and creative things as a public affairs officer.
Yeah.
But there were skill sets that I was allowed to nurture as a cadet.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things as a program that, you know, is very important for employers to understand, we have youngsters in the cadet program, not just in Trinidad, but across the region, who are outstanding in academics. And that's important. That's your first priority when they come in school. But when you start to look across the spectrum of activities, you see cadets who are doing well. We're in election season, so we have cadets who have political careers. We have medicine, we have lawyers, we have sportsmen, we have entertainers, we have businessmen. You know, we could call a number of other career paths that you would not see as specific to cadet training, but they have brought their cadet experience to make them who they are, to develop their personality, their other latent skills. And so for example, just to highlight some of the other activities that we do that contribute towards that, the organization is structured in three sort of types of formation. Well, four. We have specialist infantry, which has the band, the cooks, the culinary artists, so to speak, what we call messing department, signals, communication, medics. Those are specialist infantry. Then we have naval and aviation cadets who are now learning other industry-relevant skills and are, you know, moving from the organization into the varying industries with these particular skill set. Swimming, some will join Coast Guard, some will join Air Guard, no problem. But there are some who are joining the commercial industry and becoming pilots. The infantry program, you would naturally associate that with the regiment. But they are doing different things. Once you stay in the program long enough, there is something for you that helps develop you, that prepares you for university, college abroad. You leave with a sense of civic responsibility, a sense of awareness, sense of self. You know, there's transformation. Even the youngsters who come in and are miserable, deviant, okay? When they leave with sufficient training and the right influence, you find something that they can like, and you give them responsibilities, you see a change. So for example, we have cadets who are at camp now. They are away from mommy and daddy for an extended period.
Yeah.
But they're on their own. They have to fend for themselves. So they will do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do at home. One of them is...
You know, parents want the children to be in some kind of camp away from them.
Correct. And they might need the time off as well, which is not a problem.
Yeah.
But when they come into camp, they have to wash their dishes. That's an important skill, simple as that. They have to make up their bed when the morning comes. They have a set activity from 5 in the morning to late in the evening. It can be training, it can be physical recreation. They had given
responsibility. Are you sure any child has a cadet, the parents doesn't have to be waking them up to go to school?
Yeah. And
no. The interesting thing, though, is that parents are very surprised when they do visits to see how clean the barrack room is.
Yeah.
How their children's cuts or double deckers are well made. Shoes are lined up in a particular way with the laces tucked in.
Yeah. But do they take that action at home? Do they do it at home?
It happens eventually, and it is what we call in the military as being damaged. Mm-hmm. Eventually, one becomes so damaged with that type of training that it doesn't matter where you go. You fold things in a particular way.
Yeah.
You have things neat in a particular way.
Why call it damaged, though?
That is just a little name given to it.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean anything derogatory or anything. But they call that military damage.
Right,
you know, you do things. We have a tendency to go towards. So the infantry people like green. We like green things, and those in naval and aviation will go towards blue. So we even get color coded in that discipline. One may say that is a little too much.
Yeah.
But in our society, we see where that is needed.
Right. Yeah, man. The discipline, boy. And we take some calls, folks. Of course, 623-23. Six 627-2223 and 625-2257. Also WhatsApp us at 306-1065. Somebody message asking here, can you automatically transition from the military to the military from being in the cadets? A lot of people, you know, going to the cadets, and like how you went into the army, you know, is it automatic?
The straight answer for that question is no. However, as all of us in Trinidad will know, that the military and the protective services, they have a process for recruitment.
Right.
And at each level of the process, what you need to do is to impress the recruiters. And what I could say is that members of the cadet force have no difficulty in doing that.
Yeah, it's like a foot in the door.
That's right.
Right, at least a foot in the door. All right, you take a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Hello? What's that one there? Yeah, 627-3223, 625-2257. And you, of course, Mr. Lou says, in terms of you staying on, I know you were saying all the, a lot of people tell you, boy, why you come out here, why you join a more serious organization? You still in this cadets thing. Why have you chosen to, you know, to remain? I didn't even know cadets gonna, you know, progress to khaki and look so sharp.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment. That is of 30 years of being a member of the organization.
Wow, 30 years.
Yeah, I started in 1992. All right. So to answer your question directly, as a young man, I went to a school in the East called Holy Cross College. And I came from a little country village called Brazil Village, from a country school, Brazil RC school, not knowing much about the city lights. And when I got to Holy Cross College, there were many things to get involved with. And I gravitated towards the cadets. What impressed me was the uniform and the discipline, because boys in general, and if you look at gangs and so on, they have a tendency to appreciate hierarchy and structure. They have laws, they have consequences. So we just do the same thing, but we do it in a lawful way.
Yeah.
And what happened is that the cadet force, it shaped me as an individual. And as I grew older, I understood, whilst being a cadet, that there's a purpose of self. There's a purpose that each individual has to do, some civic mindedness. And I thought as I got older, I needed to do something to contribute, to help other young people the way I was helped.
Right.
And I've been enjoying it. It is a little bit time consuming. The family, sometimes the family see less of us. But there are ways to cope with it. You have to make time for your family and ensure that you do due diligence in your home. You can't go and help others and leave your home unattended. So there is a little bit of a balancing act. And it's the same thing we try to teach our cadets. We can't focus only on the cadet force, but we will want to see how you are doing academically as well. So we meet parents, we meet teachers, we talk with them, and we get pointers, and we try to help our cadets based on those points.
I really think it should be mandatory. Do you think it could be mandatory in some instances where people could join the cadet force, or should join the cadet force?
Well, that's an interesting question that has been put on the table by numerous people over the years. I would say this. I think there is a need for us as a society, and I'll to be more specific, we should have some measure of involvement in something. My first bias will be for cadets.
Yeah.
But if you're in school, you should get involved in something.
Yeah.
Each of the agencies or organizations have some value that you are that you're going to benefit from, that is going to round you off in some way, right? We just different vehicles heading to the same destination. We just, you know, we're going to San Fernando, but you'll take the back road, somebody else will take the highway, somebody else will take the main road.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there is that conversation about, there has been a conversation over the years about national service.
But I think national service was for the army. But I mean, the cadet force, I see the cadet, because I've always said there should be a link right now between the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of National Security, and I see the cadet force as that.
But what has happened, which is something that is the other side of that is the resources to make that happen. You know, it's very easy for us to say, you know, we want every youngster to be in the cadets, and we will love that and embrace that. But it requires infrastructure, it requires manpower, it requires adults to supervise those new. So, I mean, we understand it more now because we have gone through an expansion period where we had a mandate to have a cadet unit in every school. That has put a particular kind of strain on us. Likewise with all organizations, you go through a cycle, rapid expansion, growth, and so forth, and then other things happen when you contract. There's a up and down. But if a school wants us to come in and assist, the school needs to bring a teacher or two. We need that support because in our own structure, to deliver the program, we have a particular ratio of supervision one, which is a standard thing on the Ministry of Education. So, to deliver the program, any program that, whether it's scouts, whether it's guides, whether it's CCC, once you have people joining to participate, you need to have the commensurate increase in resources, uniform, etc., equipment and gear to do the training. And of course, the most important critical thing is human resource. Yeah.
But why deliver. We don't move away from being in a particular school? Like, oh, you say you're not different, well, a parish or a constituency, and we have people joining, a certain amount joining in that constituency. Like we say, like, you know, if it's the East West Corridor or something, or in the North or in the South, or the thing, you know, instead of a particular school, and people join the cadet. I could be from Pinal, or, you know, like, okay, once I'm in that area, I could be able to join the cadet battalion in that area.
Yeah, well, we do allow that, you know, as I said, you know, we are in 75 schools, there are about 130 something odd secondary schools. There is some measure of what we would call exclusivity to what we are doing.
Yeah.
Not everybody can join, but we, for example, in the 60s or all the way to previous, we had cadets who came through the TNTech Trade School until they closed up that department.
Right.
We have had agencies like that, external units outside of the secondary school system. That is just our structure in Trinidad. In other places in England and so forth, there's a different sort of structure that allows for people to join, who not necessarily in the school system, but can join at a detachment or so. So it comes down to structure. We have facilitated youngsters who are not necessarily attending where the unit is in their school, but we are open in that sense. But again, it's within certain parameters. The principal must be aware. Parents must get permission, but it must come with the resources that are required to deliver the program. But otherwise, as you know, to use that term, like, you know, we watering down the brandy, so to speak.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Why would I be militant to this? Yes. I would say every school must have a cadet unit.
It's a goal. It's an ideal that we aspire to, but it has some requirements and some realities to make that happen.
Right. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bates, and good afternoon to your guests in the studio. Mr. Bates, I just want to tell those gentlemen whatever they're doing, keep doing it. I was part and parcel of the peace march in Pinal on the 4th of April. And yes, the cadet band played wonderful. And yes, we had a great turnout. And I want to keep saying this. Cadets, scouts, brownies, if people want their children to be disciplined, to be a good human being in the near future, these are the organizations that they need to get their children involved in. My son is a scout, who's being asked to scout, and he's doing marvelous. And to see these children come out on a Saturday morning and put out their best to show the community, the public, that they want peace in their community, they want harmony, it meant a lot. So to the two gentlemen and the two young girls who was the guest, keep up the good work and keep on spreading the good work of the organization with all the youth. Have a good afternoon, gentlemen.
Nice, man. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Is it expensive to be another thing too? Expensive. Is it expensive to be a cadet? Like the uniform. We're paying for all our uniform and all them things.
No, sir, it's not.
It's not?
No. The Ministry of National Security is the provider of the stores and equipment that we use.
Down to the boots and all?
Down to the boots and all. What?
Okay, that's very good. That's good to know. You know?
So what I want to say too as well is that when we were off air, we were talking about the good work that the media is doing. But I think, just to be a little bit provocative, I think that some sensitization or some more sensitization should come from the media houses. What you realize when I'm not a marketeer, so I don't know what is the rudiments for selling a newspaper or so on. But when you realize you open the newspaper, is murders and negative news.
Yeah.
But there are so many things that are happening good around the place that I think that the media should play a more important role.
Well, the media has to know. I mean, if we don't get it.
Well, I commend this particular media house for this interview and for sending a photographer on Saturday. But I know for a fact that we did a press release, but it may not be sensationalized. You know, it might be boring news.
Because it's on the front page and go sell newspapers.
Right. So I'm not a marketeer. Yeah. But I'm saying that it has to be advertised. It has to be pushed so that people in the wider public could see what we do. I know that other jurisdictions do that. So it's possible that we can try that
like
as well.
Like I say, I'm a market. I want a marketing strategy behind the cadets to let people know. I mean, to let people, even some people may not even know this organization exists. They may have heard about it, but it's in the back of the head. We had to bring it back to the front. Hello, good afternoon.
Mr. Bates, good afternoon to you, the entire host and audience, and a special good afternoon to your guests. Gentlemen and ladies, really, really good to hear you. The cadets has always been about a sound mind and a sound body. But what I would say, back in my days, a number of youngsters from East Red River, where I still live, you would see fellas coming along Lavantil Road, walking through the areas behind the bridge, heading to meetings, you know, in uniform. You don't have that again right now. And I believe it's more necessary now to have the youngsters exposed to cadets. And I mean, they don't really have to take going to the army. I made very, very good friends there. You have persons around still like Mr. Edison Isaac Patrick Taylor. Well, Nylon Hippolyte, he passed recently. But the discipline remains with you. It's always there. It never goes. It's like the soldiers say, an old soldier, he doesn't die. He just fades away. We remain with a particular business, mental alertness, the ability to be attentive. And paying attention is the most important thing. And as again, as I say, there are a lot of youngsters now who, because of some learning disorder or bad parenting, may not be in secondary school. But there is a need for a great reach out to the youngsters out there now, because there's that lack of guidance. And as you say, the culture on the other side has discipline, rigidity, consequences for actions, etc., and sooner or later they would end up one way or the other. So let us make a bigger output to them. Thank you very much, and God bless. Keep up the good work. Right. Bye bye.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Don't call the WhatsApp number, people. You have to send the message. Send the message. Discipline today. Discipline. Right. Hey, to parents and children who may be a little intimidated by the toughness required to enter cadets, how do they treat with so-called softer kids?
Well, our training is scaffolding. Mm-hmm. We start at the very bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we gradually increase. We have professionals who do the physical training, PTIs, mm-hmm. in most cases. Some cases where we do have PTIs, that's physical training instructors. We invite instructors from other agencies to assist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scaffolding effect. We build from strength to strength to strength. And before you know it, just like if you're going to the gym, you start off lifting 5 kilograms, and mm-hmm. by the end of the 6-month period, you realize that you have tripled that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a similar case in the TTCF.
Yeah, man.
We get stronger with time.
I'm the toughen up. Some of your parents growing too much as softy children, man. Too much as softy children. Let the boys, you know what I mean? Let the boys man up a little bit. I'm talking about, you know, thing, but, you know, you gotta man up a little bit, man. Come on, especially mothers out there who raising sons. Let your sons join the cadets. Because they need that male role model, you know, in their lives. Kind of like what you have in your camp and thing, right? Kind of civilian who just want to, you know, experience what the cadet life is about. Can they just come and, oh, you have to be a cadet to be in the camp. Is it possible just to like to observe and see what's going on, and maybe later on, mm-hmm. when you after school, you want to, yeah, but you see that cadet, really enjoy that, boy, you know?
So no, unfortunately, because of the restrictiveness of some of the resources,
mm-hmm.
and what we do, we won't be able to allow, let's say, quote unquote, civilians to come in. But the public relations officer here will tell you that he has a team,
mm-hmm.
that they will do some videography of certain aspects of the training.
Right.
And what they do is they compile a video that they show to the form ones at the time of registration in September, in a program we call the orientation program, which is where we do our recruitment. So they do get an opportunity to see what we do, or at least snippets of it, to give them that incentive or that encouragement to join. And then, of course, when we go public on parades and so on, the public is welcome to look at us and cheer us on.
All right, nice, man. Let me take this call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave. I think you're in a very important thing in terms of advertisement for these kind of events. So I think the government would look into this. And additionally, this, actually, if you do research, you'll find that all the people that didn't fight in school and community, they belong to no organization. Just like, sorry, very few, unlike you, find that any of them fighting and like all them using it was in Dubai, the boys was involved in started something from since 11 years old. I think evidence would show that none of them would be involved in things like that. So this is where the government should start spending the money instead of the big budget in terms of reducing crimes, Minister of National Security, $5 billion. If they spend half a million or $500 million.
Don't spend more money on the cadets.
Yes, and things like these. Investigation, see if any of them people who are fighting belong to any organization, and I doubt you'll find them. So I think this is a good antidote to some of the violence in school.
Yeah, man, thank you. I think Mr. Maurice, trying to get through, Mr. Burke, right, trying to get through to give us a call there to join in the conversation. Yeah, man, I'm going to drive this, you know, right? I'm going to drive this for the Ministry of Education and National Security to get into the cadets, yeah?
The two of us. He wouldn't join.
Huh? He wouldn't?
No.
Okay, okay. No, but somebody messaged me and say, join that.
No, it's okay.
Okay. All right, you know? All right, fellas, so I mean, in closing and in hindsight, I mean, a lot of things here. I mean, first important thing, you say it's not expensive, there's no expense on parents really to get into the cadets. I mean, there are some things when the cadets must want something, you don't have no, like in school, a tin day, a butter day, a something day, something, something. If a parent wants to, you know.
So individual schools will have parent support committees.
Mm-hmm.
We call them the parents group. And so what they do is that for the miscellaneous expenses, like, you know, jerseys, or if we need any kinds of things at all, camp or wherever, they will do little fundraisers and they will assist.
Okay.
And as Major Roberts indicated earlier, there are some corporate bodies who have in the past sponsored different things. But as you know, with everything else,
yeah,
there must be some control and there must be authorization before we go further.
Right, right, right. Okay. Have another call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Bish.
Yes, sir.
I like your program going, you know. But the home, this bullying, you know, could start from the home.
from very tender age, the parent could look at the inclination of the child. And then when child enters school, the teachers could look at it and see what's going on and take some sort of remedial action. You see, in our schools, I don't know how tutors fall on the job. Like, tutors don't care about the education. With our children in our schools, they need assistance, social welfare officers, social guidance, pediatricians, clinical psychologists to visit our schools and look after the children. Unless it make in your teacher training program, you have a subject based on these things. But remember, the teacher has to pursue the curriculum. So we must have this auxiliary staff in our schools to help our children base. They need the help.
Yeah, man, they need the help. They need the help. Well, help is on the way with the cadets. Like how we had the instance where this teacher had was the thing in with the fight, with the girls fighting, and teacher was the thing with a broom and all this kind of, and a lot of girls fighting, but all this anger, and all this anger all these children have, they could put it in the cadets. Right, but like the gentleman said, a lot of it starts from home. So if you have a broken home, do you all have any instances where a child's life was actually changed, you know? Like a story where, you know, you change a child, like they come in there and crying, and he or she, and they really change and turn around.
We have had numerous testimonies of that. But there must be buying. And like everything else, like going to Alcoholics Anonymous, you have to physically pick yourself up and go. The cadet force can come to your home and bring you to us to join.
Yeah.
But we have had principals and teachers coming to us and asking us to take children on, and we have done that. So we are not a place to institute punishment on deviant behavior.
Yeah.
But we are here to take young people and help them and mold them along the way. Right, so it's not a place you could sentence a child to 10 months in cadet force. It's not like that.
Yeah, it's not a boot camp.
It's not a boot camp. Right? But in what we do a lot of exciting things that was enunciated earlier on. And what I could tell you is the cadets look forward to it. We have a lot of cadets in Trinidad and Tobago right now who are extremely excited to start camp.
Yeah.
Today, yesterday, and tomorrow, camp starting, and people are extremely excited.
Yeah, still assembly gun and thing?
Yeah, we do.
But none of them old gun and thing like long time. Yeah? That must have new things.
Well, I can't talk much about that, but yes, there's a lot of marksmanship training and so on that is still available. Right? And children are always excited about guns, even adults as well. Right? So there's a structured program where that is concerned.
But I know you mentioned Instagram and thing and on Facebook, but you see the TikTok? You're not TikTok, boy. The TikTok, a cadet TikTok page. Right? That's where the youths are now.
Well, the public affairs officer is here.
We have some plans for expansion and so forth. There are several ways to get the message out there, and the community has been responding. The youngsters coming through our particular program. We have made the switch where the cadets are now part of what we call the cadet media team. They are now telling the story as opposed to the older voices like myself. We are just here to call in a guide and direct.
But what I'm really getting at is when, like I tell you, I joined the cadets because a lot of the cool guys, it was cool. That's what kids drawn to, things that are cool and that are trending and that are thing and popular. And we have to find a way to make these guild guides, these brownies, these cop scouts and cadets, make it cool again. You know, you might want to make America great again. Let's make the cadets cool again. And you have to find that way.
Yeah, and we are doing that with the support of the school administrators. There's been a tremendous increase in terms of the kind of traffic and awareness. There's still more work to be done. But what we have been seeing is a real genuine response to the cadet story. When you hear about youngsters who are beyond just being outstanding cadets who pass the exams and get promoted, you're starting to see and hear stories of a Karifta team who are have done well in judo, gone to represent the school or the nation in other schools. And not that didn't happen before, but now the stories, the information, the experiences now coming more to the fore through social media, and we getting that kind of engagement. And what you have now in the wider Caribbean, because we are tied to the other cadet forces in the other Caribbean islands, and these youngsters are now going to camp, regional camps with them, you're starting to see a particular kind of bus. So, you know, when we talk about what's happening in Cadiz, you know, we're not just generally talking about Trinidad and Tobago, but any region as well. So, you know, we share the experiences of those outstanding things that young people are doing. We have some our colleagues who are in Grenada, for example. You know, when you hear exam results come out, you hear 10 and 13 passes. They do excellent. Youngsters who are representing Jamaica in athletics. That is what you are going to start seeing and hearing more of, both locally and within your region. And that is where the buzz is. You know, from my own department, we got those requests. You know, I want to join. And that starts even at primary school level, where we even know that SE has just been completed last week. Yeah. We already have
parents
who are interested in getting their sons or daughters in the program.
Yeah, man, one time.
You know, so it's there. It's and maybe not as overwhelming as we would like to enjoy, but it's there. There are young people. In fact, there are parents who have been part of the program who understand the value of their experience, who are now encouraging their children, saying, "Hey, when you get to school, whatever school it is, especially if they go to their school with their unit, you had to join." You know, that's the kind of encouragement.
We should also
you see.
Take this opportunity to let me use the young people's term, to shout out all the parents who have actually come to us and saw us as an alternative.
Correct.
And have been supporting us throughout the years. We have some really outstanding, amazing parents, and to you who are listening, I want to commend you for coming to us and supporting us. Continue your good work. Thank you for supporting us in the walkathon. It was a tremendous success. I want to say thank you to the Trinidad and Tobago Police Service, in particular the Commissioner of Police and ECP Wayne Meister, for supporting us in this activity on Saturday. Also to the Southwest Regional Health Authority for sending an ambulance complete with a doctor and medics. Thank you for supporting us. So we are very happy to have stakeholder involvement, and we are very grateful for their involvement.
Nice one. So when is the next activity? I went down south. They ain't coming in turn on to a walk.
Well, I actually live in the east, and my role in the cadet force doesn't only happen in south. I have other responsibilities as well. So I'm the range officer for the force, so I interact with cadets throughout the country.
Yeah, nice one. But we need a walk in tongue. Yeah, south, east, west, north, and south.
Well, I'm sure that would happen in the near future.
There are some things coming, individual units. What you're going to see now in Trinidad in particular, and in parts of Tobago, you're going to see youngsters on the road doing their STAR exams. This is part of our program that, you know, allows them to advance from one level to the other and get promoted. So they will be doing hiking. You're going to see them on the road moving to and from various areas. We have some cadets that are in camp in Tobago. We have some cadets who are doing some exercises in Trinidad within the next couple of days. So there's a lot of activity in terms of adventurous training.
Don't forget, we have a contingent going to Dominica in July from Trinidad.
Nice.
So that's a nice foreign exercise that is coming up shortly as well.
Right.
And in terms of major events, as we celebrate our 115th anniversary, come May the 1st, so our first force activity would be our interfaith service, or what we would traditionally have called church parade, where we're going to assemble at the
Cathedral
of the Immaculate Conception in Port of Spain.
Yeah.
We're going to have a short march from St. Mary's College all the way down, and then we'll have a service. And that basically will be all the representative units across Trinidad. And then later on in May, as we celebrate Cadet Month, the other major activity is going to be our annual inspection parade. And there's the highlight of our year, where Her Excellency the President will come, inspect the troops, present awards, and in keeping with the praise in your recent past, we have some awards for outstanding young persons who have performed excellently in a number of areas across the battalions. That's the structure that we are in.
Nice.
So each battalion may have a youngster who might be nominated for an award, and that person receives that award at that parade. And that's at the end of May. And then there'll be some others. So a number of things are going to be publicized to media houses directly. You know, information is going to be available on our pages. Mm-hmm. We are using the handle TT Cadets. That's for Instagram and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Our website is ttcadets.co. So things are happening. Information is going to start flowing. We're going to have a grand month in May. Mm-hmm. Other subsidiary, you know, events are going to happen. But for the most part, the two things that are major on the list is the church parade and the inspection parade.
And somebody from we wanted to get in there. Somebody. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes.
Good afternoon to you, sir. I was a member of this throwback way back in the late 60s and 70s. It was Major Hugh War. Who is the commander right now?
Oh, you're asking? Who's the commander right now?
The head of the organization is now the deputy commandant acting, Major Marlon Hart. It's sort of in transition for command, change of command. Our last command, Colonel York, demitted office some months ago.
Yes, because I know it's a good program because we back then would have gone to camp at Tucker Valley. We would have all sort of mock battles. We would have been at all those islands out there, Cutland Bay and so on. And it was very good for someone at the 15 and 16 years. Someone mentioned that they don't see anyone walking around Port of Spain right now and so on. It is because Piontech ran that program. It was called an outside platoon. We would have go Parksville and walk over to Maracas, passed by the Blind Institute and so on. I believe you all will have to invest more time in getting this program into a number of schools, at least to start off in the Port of Spain area. I know a lot of those so-called schools that, like Fatima and St. Mary's and so on, were involved in it. But it should be mandatory for all schools to have a program, but it must be voluntary for the students.
All right, thank you very much, sir. A lot of people messaging here with memories. Boy, somebody say, good day. I have an outstanding trainee from YTEP who just completed the training as a welder, and he was a cadet. All right, we have this message here.
Biz, good evening. Biz, these guys have great intentions. These guys, the way they sang or whatever, have intentions where they can absorb the youths from an early age.
Yeah, Peter, let's start over the WhatsApp thing there for us to get it clearly. But a lot of people will say, you know, you have a lot of great intentions where you think, but I feel people want a little bit more. I know it's not your fault, but people want a little bit more power behind the cadets. Ministry of Education, Ministry of National Security. I think this is the link and the, you know, something we've been waiting for. There are no superheroes out there, but, you know, you have some Avengers in the cadets, and I think they could really help out the situation in the schools. So, gentlemen, anything you want to say before we leave?
So, just stepping on the heels of your last comment, what I can assure you is that we have some really good committed officers, both male and female, in the cadet force, who have devoted their lives to the betterment of our country, and we have been using the cadet force as the vehicle to achieve that. And I want to take this opportunity to say to these officers, continue doing what you do. You are doing a good job. You are all heroes, not wearing capes. You're wearing berets and pickups. Continue to do your job. I heard influencer say recently that if he saves one life, mm-hmm. he would have saved plenty and he'd be happy. And mm-hmm. I know that we are dealing with thousands of people over the years, and we have saved many. So we are the unsung heroes. We're not doing this for any fame or glory. We're just doing this to build a better Trinidad and Tobago, which is who we love.
Yeah, man. Well said, well said.
I would like to appeal to the ex-cadets out there. It was really pleasing to hear them make the kind of comments and their contribution today. We want to hear their stories, you know. Connect with us on any one of our pages. I think it's important for us to be more visible. And inside of that increasing visibility is hearing from people who pass through, you know, the same experiences that these young people that we are now trying to reach out to. I know the environment has changed, I know society has changed, the technology has changed and so forth, but the issues largely remain the same. They're looking to fit in somewhere, they're looking for somebody to be a role model in their life. They may not fit in somewhere. They're looking for an adventure. We as an organization in the varying facets provide that opportunity. Yes, there's need for more. There's always need for more. Times have changed, but I'm saying, look, to the parents who have been giving us support, the school administrators who have given us support, you know, continue. We will do the work. I mean, my department is all about, you know, making the awareness, but we can't do it unless we hear those stories. You know, this we had a campaign recently of showcasing the youngsters who are doing excellent things, and we want to improve that so that those comments that you heard this evening add value to the cadets who are experiencing now. Hey, you know, I'm not doing this in vain. You know, look. The chief of defense staff, who is an ex-cadet, sat in class like me. Mm-hmm. The footballer, the Calypsonian, and yeah, I could call names, you know. But once they can see other people who have sat in school just like them, regardless of the school, and have become something, that is an inspiration for the current group. So I'm encouraging those. Give us support. You see the cadets, you know, hail them out. They're going to be on your roads. Be careful as you pass them. You know, they are doing some hiking, just as the gentleman said, and that he did in his days. They're going to be in varying areas across the East-West corridor in Trinidad specifically, and there'll be some in South, and there'll be others in Tobago. Just be safe on your roads when you come and pass your roads. But you could hail them out. You could cheer them on. That will be good. But, you know, we just want people to see us as an organization that is making positive change, and we have young people that are making a difference in their schools and their communities at large.
Yeah, thank man, you. Gentlemen. Well, thank you very much. I mean, we're in silly season all the time of promises, and I want somebody to promise and really do it. Whoever gets in power to put some more money into the Trinidad and Tobago Cadet Force via the Ministry of National Security. And I would like you guys to consider to be, I know you say you can't force, but to be a little bit more aggressive in the approach of recruiting, because them gangs out there recruiting, eh?
Correct.
Right? And they taking the children. So I'd rather you all take them than the gangs. All right? Thank you very much, gentlemen. Right?
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.